welcome to the Start Good Things podcast. My name is Rob.
And I am Eric. Welcome to episode 4.
Yeah, episode 4 already. We've covered some great topics over these last few episodes, have we not?
Absolutely. We had spiritual entrepreneurship with John Burke, social entrepreneurship with Dr. Marcus Goody Goodlow, entrepreneurship in the realm of leadership with Brad Lominick.
And today we have a great episode where we actually tackle the topic of educational entrepreneurship.
Innovation in the world of education.
So educational entrepreneurship, it's an interesting topic. Do we need entrepreneurship in education? Well, we would argue yes. Education has been standardized. And if there's one thing that I believe, it's that education is not a one-size-fits-all type of thing. In fact, Eric, I remember I grew up in Norfolk, Virginia. And when I was just a small child, there was no public school kindergarten in Norfolk at the time, so you had to find an alternative for your kindergarten education. And my mom found a school for me to go to that was private for kindergarten. I remember the first day walking to kindergarten, it was amazing. Kids coloring and just little units of children playing and doing different things, and I thought this is going to be amazing. And then I remember my mom said, "Okay, Robbie, bye-bye." And that was the first time it dawned on me that she wasn't going to stay with me. And I don't know why that hadn't occurred to me. There were no other parents around, but I had a little bit of a freak out moment. It was pretty interesting morning. Then, so I finished this private school kindergarten. Then the next year, the public school system in Norfolk, they instituted a kindergarten program. And with it comes a rule with standardization that you have to go through their public school kindergarten in order to start first grade. So I did kindergarten twice.
You did kindergarten twice. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I did. You put a crayon in my hand, man. Watch out. I can color. I'm not kidding.
Well, for me, growing up, education was always something you had to get through. And once you got to college and post-grad work, then you get to really focus on what you're passionate about. That's when you really get to learn things you want to learn about. And there's something wrong about that.
There really is. I couldn't agree more. In fact, with my own children, I've spent a great deal of time trying to pour into them to say, listen, education is not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. It's an absolute privilege to be educated. It's unfortunate that more people are not seeing it that way.
Well, and today we're interviewing Dr. Say Lee. I knew Say from my time in Los Angeles at our church Mosaic. He is a physician. He was a minor in education at Stanford, and he even continues to teach, teaching other doctors, teaching clients that come in needing help. But him and his wife, along with a couple of friends, have ventured into this world of alternative education, starting an Acton Academy. You're going to love hearing from Say and some of the adventures they've had, and really, how do we make this better? How do we help our kids be more prepared to be change makers in this world?
Yeah, before we hear from Say, though, maybe it's only fair if we tell you a little bit about who we are. I mean, of course, you could find us on iTunes. You could look us up at startgoodthings.com and get a lot of great info about us. But maybe we just need to take a moment to explain a little bit about us. And in order to do that, I've brought along one of my earliest and favorite educators in my life, a Mr. Floyd.
We believe in a better future. We believe in and for humanity. We are ordinary, but we believe in the extraordinary. We believe that ordinary people working together can accomplish extraordinary things. We believe that when this happens, it makes for a better humanity and a better future. A future for all people.
Didn't you mean a better future for all people?
I think that's obvious.
Maybe we should just move on to Say.
Well, it's so great to have Say Lee, or I should say Dr. Say Lee. Say, after all these years knowing you from our time at Mosaic, You're always doing good things as a doctor, saving lives, working with veterans at the VA, and now you're an entrepreneur in the academic world. You've started Acton Academy in Orange County. Why would a doctor move towards starting a school?
Well, I get asked that question a lot, and I actually like it. I like the question. It touches on a number of themes. Labels that we give ourselves and that others place on us that oftentimes limit us. Like, you're a doctor, you're this or that, so you can't do something else. It's not who you are. And I think related to that, you know, another thing people might say is, oh, you're not an entrepreneur, you're not that kind of person. That's not how you're wired, or you've never done something like that, so how can you start now? So that question touches on a lot of those underlying themes, but I've actually been interested in education since college. I minored in it and had always thought of how education could be done differently. And then once I had my own children and they were of school age, it became not just a theoretical or philosophical kind of exercise, but something very practical. How do I create the best possible kind of educational experience for my own children and for other families? Another thing that I realized is that even as a physician, I'm teaching and educating all day long. I realized that I'm explaining disease or disease prevention to my patients. I wear a lot of different hats. So I'm a health educator, life coach, financial advisor to my patients, sometimes marriage or parenting or family therapist. So all day long, I'm kind of educating or teaching or trying to inspire my patients to live a better life. And so a lot of that transfers very readily to working with young people or young students in a school setting.
Well, so that's incredible. And clearly you're a man who can wear many hats. But I'm curious, why Acton and why now? Maybe it was the fact that you had children that is the now. But why Acton? Why open an Acton Academy? What was it about that? Why not just send your kids to another private school or a public school? Why Acton?
Right. So I actually owe Eric a debt of gratitude, because in my mind, we met through our time together at Mosaic, our church in LA. And being at Mosaic kind of got my wheels turning about, so many of the things that I saw, the good things that I saw at Mosaic. I thought, what if we could take Mosaic culture and put it into a school setting? Just an emphasis on creativity and making a difference in the world and character, character transformation. All of these things that were such a unique part of Mosaic. I thought, what if we could transplant that into a school or educational setting? I thought that would be awesome. And then Eric told me about Acton Academy in Austin. And once I started kind of diving into it, it seemed like they had kind of captured a lot of the things that I wanted to do with the emphasis on character and making a contribution in the world. And so that's kind of how my journey started.
And how did you go from hearing about Acton? I remember that conversation there in Southern California. How did you, what did you do next? I know part of the story, but maybe share how you went from idea to actually pulling this off. I mean, you started a school. You connected, I know, with a couple of others, but maybe share about that journey.
So, yeah, I think Eric and I, when Eric moved to Austin, we kind of weren't in contact on a regular basis for a long time. And then we met at MTN. At this event called Terra Nova, which is kind of a weekend of creativity and exploration And, you know, one of the things that came up there was there can be a lot of things that you're kind of interested in, kind of a passing fancy. It's like, oh, that'd be nice if I could do this or that. And there are other things that really you can't shake, that even if you try to get away from, you keep coming back to it in your thoughts and your dreams. And I realized for me, education and starting a school, a different kind of school, was in that latter category, something that I couldn't shake, that my mind always wandered towards that. And so I thought, you know what, let me just give this a go. And just to give you a time frame, Eric and I saw each other in September of 2014. And I had this kind of burden to start an alternative school. And then we opened our doors in August of 2015. So it was 11 months. And we had opened our school. We had 8 families, 14 students.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. You know, say I know that I've been involved with Acton recently myself. And the first time I toured the school here in Austin, I thought to myself, man, I so wish that I had known that this existed 15, 20 years ago for my kids. And then I went back a second time, and some of the things I experienced from the hero's journey and how they actually that plays out in real time, and watching these young people in a learner-driven model that are basically self-governed. After I saw it a second time, I thought to myself, you know, wow, I wish that I'd known about this 40 years ago for me. I would so love to have been in a school like that. How have you seen that with the students and the families you're talking about? The 14 students have that are part of the Acton OC out there. Like, what do you see? What do you see it lighten up in them?
So, first of all, when I tell friends and people around me about Acton and what we're doing, their reaction is the same as yours, Rob. The first thing they say is, "Can I go to your school?" These are like grown men and women.
I don't blame them one bit, honestly.
So that's a very common response. I think, you know, I was watching a video. I forgot the conductor's name, but he's a conductor and a music professor at Boston Music Conservatory. And one of the things he says is that as the conductor, he feels like it's his responsibility to see the light or the twinkle in the musician's eyes. Like, he knows he's doing his job when each member of the orchestra, he can look into their eyes and he sees the light, kind of the twinkle in their eyes, and they're alive and they're engaged in what they're doing. And so I remember that, and I thought, you know, that's kind of what we want to create at Acton for our scholars. And so that's the first thing, that, you know, the 14 scholars, they come to this learning community, the self-directed, self-governed learning community, and they're excited to be there. They're excited about being at school, about learning new things, about being together. So I think as long as we continue to have that as kind of a litmus test, are they excited? Are they learning? Are they glad to be together? You know, we're doing our job. And that's what I've been seeing from our scholars thus far this year.
Say, one of the things that we often ask our guests on Circuit Things here is, if you had an opportunity, let's say, I'm gonna give you a hypothetical here. You're on an elevator, and you're on the elevator with a young entrepreneur, someone who's younger than you, and they're an entrepreneur, and they want to do something of great meaning, and they want to do something that has great impact on the world. There's only 30 seconds with you that you get to share this ride with them to the bottom floor, and in those 30 seconds, I'm wondering if you could give them one piece of indispensable advice in those 30 seconds, what would the advice be?
I think I would say, give yourself deadlines. A series of small actionable steps with firm deadlines does wonders. I think it helps you overcome inertia and paralysis by analysis. Hmm. You know, I find myself often not knowing what I need to do 10 steps down the road, but usually I'm able to intuitively identify what the next few steps need to be. And then if you identify those things and then give yourself very specific and short deadlines to accomplish them, in my experience, you find yourself moving forward, you know, step by step and moving towards your goal. So it helps you overcome that inertia.
Nice. Nice. Ding. There we go. Beautiful. Well done.
Well, and that advice is probably why you're able to go from hearing about something to actually implementing it 11 months later.
Yeah, that's actually good advice, and I think listeners should listen to a doctor who can start a school and wear all these different hats. That's good advice.
All right, Say, so you're there in Southern California. The Dodgers invite you up to bat. What is the song going on the loudspeakers as Vin Scully introduces you?
Okay, so can I be a visiting Yankee?
Oh.
I grew up in the Bronx, so.
I got too specific in my example. Of course you can. I was trying to be culturally relevant. I should have known.
Okay.
Yes,
right.
You're a Yankee coming up to beat the Dodgers. What is your song at the bat?
So I'm not sure if you know this, but Mariano Rivera, he comes in from the bullpen to close the game for Yankees, or he used to, with the song Enter Sandman.
Right.
So I might go with that.
Okay, that'll work.
As an homage to Mariano Rivera.
I love it. I love it.
Metallica, nice.
A doctor, an educator, a Metallica lover.
Yeah, I love it.
Say, thank you for taking the time to be with us. So excited for what you and Sandy and the rest of your team are doing there in Orange County and there at Mosaic. Keep up your great work.
Thank you both.
Yeah, Say, thanks for all you do to make the world a better place. We appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you, guys.
Imagine, if you will, you're in a room with two other adults and exactly 27 elementary school students. The elementary school students are having a town hall meeting. It is led by a third grader, an eight-year-old. There's an issue on the floor, an issue of concern. The 27 elementary schoolers discuss the issue with great decorum, respecting the rules of engagement. They're instructed that they need to come up with solutions. They offer two possible solutions. They take a vote. They have an outcome. They've solved their problem. And not a single adult has spoken. Sound like the stuff of dreams? I know. But it's reality. Where does this sort of thing happen? Acton Academy.
I love it. And I know that's a true story, but was Enter Sandman playing in the background during that town hall meeting?
It was in my head, sir. We like to make a lot of jokes around here, and we don't take ourselves terribly seriously. But we do want you to know that we are very earnest about this, and we're quite serious about it. There is something exciting happening in the realm of education, something transformational, and Acton really is on top of it.
Well, and I love how they're not just innovating, but they're really trying to equip others to do the same. In fact, our book giveaway is a result of the generosity of the Acton Academy. It's called Unschooling Rules, 55 Ways to Unlearn What We Know About Schools and Rediscover Education. It's by Clark Aldrich.
It's an amazing book, by the way, Eric. I read it. I ingested that book in 90 minutes. It's an easy read. It's the type of thing, if you read it and you totally agree with it, then you need to be doing something in the realm of education.
Well, and the foreword's by Jeff Sandifer, the founder, along with his wife Laura, of Acton Academy here in Austin. They're starting all over the country. And in fact, if you're interested in either being a student or starting your own Acton Academy or even a children's business fair in your town, Rob, you are the contact for that. And just, if you want to win a book, if you want to hear about this, just send an email to Eric, E-R-I-C, at gatewaychurch.com, and I'll make sure and get you in touch with Rob. And the first five people to email about the book, Unschooling Rules, will be a winner.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Start Good Things podcast. As always, subscribe on iTunes and tell a few folks about it.
Especially those who have started good things or those who want to start good things.
Dad is flown across the ocean.
And just remember, what you do matters.
Leaving just a memory.
Together we can create a better future for the generations to come.
A snapshot in the family album. for me.